Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you're listening in Bloomington on 92.5, it might be a little clearer for you. You can check out all our previous podcasts on CatholicSpiritRadio.com. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have some great guests in with us today. Matt and Amanda are here, and we appreciate you guys coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. What are we going to talk about this week?
Whatever you want to talk about.
You guys came to talk about something specific,
oh, yes,
right?
We did. So we are in the process of setting up a foundation. It's a long process to
absolutely
get a 501c3, yeah, which we're...
They don't hand those out like cookies.
No, they really do. I thought it was going to be like a couple forms, mail them in, here's your $50.
Takes at least a year.
We just met with the CPA, and it's a little daunting, but... You only have to do this once.
As long as you remember to file the paperwork on time.
You got it.
We've been there.
Yeah, it's going to be grueling, but it's all for a very good cause, which is what we are here to talk about.
Absolutely.
The Louise Bernadette Cole Foundation is what we are trying to establish, and it is in the honor of our daughter, our third child, who passed away from sudden infant death syndrome at 5 months and 10 days old. So
that's a great cause. So yeah. How long have you been at it?
Well, a little over a year. We're just working on, like I mentioned, the establishing it to make it 501c3 aspect. But a little over a year ago, so she passed away on December 27th. And it was around April, and my best girlfriend was like, hey, you said you want to do this benefit for Louise. You said you wanted to start this thing. If you want to start it and have it on around her first birthday, which is July 17th of 2017, she said, we need to get going. So we did. We had it here in Bloomington at Lakeside, and had an outpouring of donors and help, and we had a huge success on July 15th, mm-hmm, 2017.
90 days, that's a good turnaround for a benefit.
Ew.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. We get a lot of help from friends and family, and you know, that being said, you know, kind of the genesis of the whole thing, I think, really happened, you know, in the immediacy of our tragedy. The outpouring of support that we got from our school, our son goes to St. Mary's and our daughter will next year, really began at that very moment. You know, whether it was people stopping by just to share condolences or food baskets or what can we do to help you guys get through this, was incredible. And when we were setting up the services, the funeral director looked at us and said, if people want to send like a monetary gift, you know, what do you want it to be for? Or what do you want it to go to? And we, you know, we're distraught, but we both looked at each other and just simultaneously said, St. Mary's.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really kind of began then, and we had gotten a little nest egg, if you will. And, we're like, we should do something with this. Like we should do something that matters. You know, there's not a lot of opportunities in our lives that we get to do something that truly matters. And, you know, we kind of felt like this was a great opportunity to seize that moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of 90 days to turn over a fundraiser, I'm in charge of the Dad's Club currently at Corpus Christi. And the moms do the fall ball, and they start planning like the year ahead of time. We do our events like Night at the Races. We try to start 3 weeks out. The dads are really good at that. Well, we just wait till it's crunch time.
I work well under pressure,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
So, like, now, yeah, we're getting 60 days in, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to call this person. And it pans out.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of self-preservation on the dad part, though, because we're prideful and bullheaded. I'm speaking for myself, but probably 99% of the male population.
Yeah, we're not going to let it fail.
Exactly. And because we're in such crunch, it makes it easier for us to delegate. So it's kind of like out of laziness a little bit maybe too. So I don't know.
Yeah, if there's not that pressure, we tend to just want to keep all of it under our own roof. And
then we take out the stress on everybody around us, those we love most typically.
Yeah, I've had that conversation with my wife multiple times in the past.
Yes.
So what are you trying to raise money specifically for? Awareness?
So people have asked us about that, and I don't know if Matt has a different feeling about that, but because Louise was such a special case, so there's SIDS, and I'm not too educated on this, but then sudden unexplained infant death is another kind of form of it, which is when they did her autopsy, like her brain, there are 50% cases that there's like something in the hippocampus that
They find an abnormality in the hippocampus, as it's termed, and they found no such abnormality.
Kind of like sleep apnea, you forget to breathe. That was not present. So, and being the parents that we are, and a lot of, and I'm not trying to call us good people, but a lot of good people are, you know, I mean, she was breastfed since the day she was born. She had a pacifier. She slept on her back. We don't smoke. Nobody in our home smokes. All those rules were followed.
Yeah.
She was napping in her crib. It was during her daytime nap. So we're not necessarily raising it, is what I'm getting at, for SIDS and awareness of SIDS, just because I feel like she was plucked by God. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what science behind that can really change that. I mean, I'm not questioning if there can be tests.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, but
I work for a healthcare company, and you know, we fund and do a lot of in-house research, and I'm not aware of any research that we even do, or anybody for that matter, because it still is rare, and it's become more rare throughout history as modern medicine has increased and we've had better nutrition, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's just one of those things, like Amanda said, it was perhaps, you know, if you want to term it, God just plucked her. Some people might be uncomfortable with that. It's not easy to accept, but that's what we'd like to believe.
I think a lot of times, especially for any type of illness, disease, whatever, when children are involved, people always want an explanation. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times we try to rely on science to make ourselves feel better, when it typically won't. You know, it's that acceptance of sometimes it's our time to go, you know, and look at the beauty of, you know, hopefully where we're going. Mm-hmm. My daughter had a conversation with my wife when she was probably 4 years old, and my wife said something about, well, you know, God willing, I will, you know, pass before you, whatever. I don't remember how it came up or whatever. And my daughter said, Mom, we're just camping here. Wouldn't you want me to go home to God before you?
Aww.
And so, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, and I think I was raised Protestant and have converted to Catholicism. And I think that there's a great beauty to suffering that we endure here, and our faith through the Catholic Church helps us to understand that. And I think that you know, there's also a great beauty in being able to accept, you know, that others aren't called to suffer, and that, you know, they're called home, you know, before we are, and that there is a benefit to them in that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, kind of to bring it back when you're, you know, kind of jokingly being a dad and, you know, how we are and how we're wired to think, you know, in her case, again, like I said, it wasn't easy to accept. In fact, you know, it wasn't really natural, if you will.
Sure.
But I think because there wasn't any finding, it kind of put me more at peace, because I know that as a father, as a protector, what my role is, I didn't fail. It was just purely, you know, God's little plucking or intervention, however you would term it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that analogy. So what are you raising money for then?
So we are currently, we have like, it's scholarships for St. Mary's School.
Awesome.
We although we had such a good turnout and had such amazing funds raised, that we were like, well, we were thinking each year would be a goal to provide one scholarship for St. Mary's. Well, then the amount that we wanted to give away per year was a little bit more. So what we have done this year anyway is we are going to give a $4,000 scholarship to a graduating eighth grader from St. Mary's for Central. And then we have like a remaining $3,000 that's kind of like an angel donor, someone mid-year loses their job, they're paid hourly or something like that, and they can't make tuition, angel donor type thing.
Or they go on, a disability type thing with their job and aren't able to make ends meet.
Sure.
And they want to keep their kid there. I mean, we want to help with that. We see the benefit of a Catholic education. And, it's not easy. It's a sacrifice for every parent. But we see the benefit of it. And our sacrifice is worth it to us. And if we can help other people make the sacrifice a little easier, then it's a win.
Absolutely. We have five children and three currently at Corpus Christi. And people ask all the time about, our experience with Catholic education. And going back to your comment about the food, that I always, we've had five kids, so we get food all the time from people. Like when we were at public school, nobody ever brought us a casserole or lasagna or, so that's always one of the, there's much more community, I think, in the school than what you might get at a public school.
Well, that was, definitely when we were starting the benefit for last year. The first meeting of us trying to get this thing rolling was me and six of my closest moms at our dining room table with like 12 kids running around the house destroying my
house. They don't pick up after themselves?
Oh, come on. Because you don't want to ask them to. They're the help of you anyway.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, all those broken Christmas toys? Never mind.
It's
whatever.
Fine.
We're getting another ones next year. No, so that's how it starts, right? Like the community, the group of moms or dads that are there for you, rain and shine. I mean, they did the entire luncheon afterwards, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And it just, that community. I mean, I don't know. We've never been in public school. My husband and I, Matt and I were, but as far as with our kids and stuff, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. The community has always been the sticking point. We moved to the Downs area when Riley was in second grade. And after a couple months of like everyone at the school asking us when we were going to switch, we felt like we must be missing something. So we pulled her out and switched her for a semester. And I tend to be fairly outgoing and talkative. And in the 6 months she was there, I never met anybody else's parents. When I'd go to the school, it was always kind of like, oh, yeah, wait at the front door. We don't need you to come in. Definitely not the experience that we have at Corpus Christi. I'm sure not the experience because I go to St. Mary's for things occasionally. Definitely not the experience that I've ever had there. And to me, and when I have conversations with other moms and dads that are considering public school or Catholic school, I always go straight to the community. To me, your child can only learn so much math and reading. And while our child was well ahead of, the other kids when she did go to public school, even if she wasn't, the community and the faith experience, I think, to me anyway, far and above outweighs whether or not she receives the best education, even though I think our Catholic schools don't get the recognition that they deserve here in town for how great of an education that they provide. However, I think the community, to me, is by and far the most important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even moms that maybe I didn't know very well, and I mean, George is at a school of 143 kids,
Tight-knit.
Very. there's a mom getting out at pickup who's got, middle schoolers, and she's bringing me a little vase of flowers, and this is like 2 months later. Just people are just always thinking of you and praying for you, and not that that doesn't happen in other communities, but it's just a very, I think, different experience. So Getting back to the eighth grader to go to Central, we've asked that they write a paper about how they feel like their experience at St. Mary's has helped form their relationship with God and being a better person, and how going to Central is going to continue that for them. For eighth graders, they look at me like, how long does this paper have?
Can I double space it?
Yeah, double space it, bring in the margins.
Yeah, 3-inch margins on each side of the paper.
Size 22 font.
But Matt has a great story from our neighbor boy that it kind of brought this about.
We have a neighbor that is a graduate of St. Mary's, and he's a pretty exceptional young kid, and my story will demonstrate this. It was last June, I think it was. It was getting pretty close to the benefit. And I was at home on a, you know, late evening. Amanda, I think, was out running errands. And there's a ring at my doorbell, and I go to the door. And there's this, 14-year-old boy who's standing. And I said, hey, you know, how are you? And he said, oh, I'm good. And I was like, what's up? Can I help you with something? And he said, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I play bagpipes with my dad. And we played a funeral, and there's some other people in the community that do it, and they weren't called upon, so we kind of walked into this situation to play this funeral. And, we usually just play for free, but this funeral said that we want to pay you guys. And so they gave us $100. The guy gave me $100 and my dad $100. And he walks up to the door, and he says, I know you guys are having this benefit, and I want you to have this.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, what 14-year-old kid? I mean, I was a 14-year-old kid once. If I had $100 in my pocket, let me tell you, I probably wasn't
going to last long.
Yeah, it was going to something probably not good. And I was just, and I tried to give it back to me. Said, no, I really, really want you to have it. And I shared this story the night of the benefit. And I'm not short for words, but I believe it or not, I'm not super comfortable with public speaking. And, I think it kind of rang true to a lot of people that, you know, in today's world that is, we're constantly saturated by lack of moral character, that a 14-year-old kid who you never expect any type of moral character from did this extremely kind and generous act.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
So that's why we were like, see, this is what kind of Saint kids
right.
come from St. Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a fantastic testament to his faith and his relationship with Jesus to be called to do that. Now, this year's golf outing is not going to be here locally.
Correct.
It's going to be in Wisconsin. You guys have 90 days. You could probably find a golf course to throw one here locally.
We could do two.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, we were also thinking about trying to get a chartered jet service to bring people up to Wisconsin.
There you go.
I don't know if there's anybody in the community that
Bob's
wants to
Blue
sign
Knight
up.
Might.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
School buses for a three-hour ride.
It is just a short trip up 39, though. It's really easy to get to. We grew up in southeast Wisconsin, so.
Just north of Rockford.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lake Geneva area.
I mean, the way I drive, I get there in like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Hopefully no police officers are listening to this. Why did you name names? it's up there. You know, like we said, we grew up there and we have our family is up there and we have a fairly decent foothold in the community there. And we got a lot of support from up there. And we felt like, hey, this might be an opportunity to try to branch out and, give it a shot. Like it's in its infancy, this benefit, and it's kind of growing organically like a child in a way. We're constantly kind of bouncing ideas and we thought we'd make our lives real difficult and try this year. So we'll see what happens.
Being that we're both from there, we had, family members and one of our childhood best friends came down, the night before last year with her mom's SUV, like loaded with baskets. And she just got baskets from around where we grew up. And none of those people they were able to attend, but they didn't make the trip. So it's kind of an opportunity to, some of his siblings still live up there and mine do. So kind of a way to let those people enjoy it too, because it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of times outings are as beneficial for the people that attend, and it kind of is a way to give you know, give back to that community that supported you last year by having it up there. I think that's fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You're listening to Catholic Conversations.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Hi, I'm James, I'm 13, and I listen to Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm into technology, so my dad took me to see the Catholic Spirit Radio broadcast tower. It was a very cool experience. When I listen to Catholic Spirit Radio, I learn stuff about the church and the faith. My family listens a lot when we're in the car, or just at home. Sometimes they go to the website to get movie reviews, or just to check the community calendar for teen events. I think other teens would really like listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, too.
Tell your teens about 89.5 and 92.5 FM, the free Catholic Spirit Radio app, its Facebook page, plus the website at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio is a valuable resource for teens as well as adults.
Thanks for supporting your local Catholic radio station. Donate online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We've got some great guests in with us today. Amanda and Matt are here. We're talking about the Louise Bernadette Cole Foundation that they are in the process of trying to complete their 501c3 status, but working on their second annual golf outing to benefit St. Mary's School and scholarships, and I guess actually Central Catholic School.
Yeah,
the scholarship goes to an eighth grader exiting St. Mary's and going to Central Catholic. I like the idea of requiring some type of input from the child through an essay. I know that there's a lot of not enough, but there's a bunch of scholarship opportunities locally, and it seems like a lot of times it's just maybe just needs based, and there's not really, you know, mom and dad just kind of fills out an application, or the priest knows that they need some help. We've been having conversations over at the Knights of Columbus Council that I'm a member of at St. Pat's about putting together a scholarship in Father Greg's name, and that was the conversation that we had was, you know, let's do one that's you know, more evangelical based or evangelism based. And have a student, you know, write an essay about how they evangelize their Catholic faith to the community and that type of thing. So I think a lot of times, you know, to me, that's, you know, potentially more beneficial. It forces the student to be involved and to really reflect on, you know, their faith life. And even for the kids that don't win, they go through that process of.
Well, I've been really blessed. This year, I started working at St. Mary's. I'm the librarian now there. And
are you a book Nazi like our librarian?
No,
we get letters really home bad. All the. I don't know how many books my kids lose, and I just don't understand why I can't bring like 10 books back for the one we lost and not have to pay like $25.
No, we have that exchange program.
We need that at Corpus Christi because I'm like, we have bookshelves full of books.
Hey, accountability is not a bad thing, Jason. Oh, accountability for our children is not a bad thing.
Somehow I get blamed for it. Well, Dad, I left it in your car.
Yeah. Oh, my parents didn't put it in my backpack. Yeah. That's my favorite. I'm like, well, you're in fifth grade.
Yeah.
So. no, it being my first year and my background actually is art education. I'm learning the fine art of library science. I'm kind of like, oh, you're so cute, and you really want to read this book, this nonfiction book about tigers. You can totally take it home, but please bring back the three other books that are 4 months overdue.
I really hope none of your students listen to this.
As long as we're not running out of books, what difference does it make?
I do the exchange program. Okay, so we've really exhausted all efforts about this book that you lost the first week of school in August. Can you bring in another book that, you know, maybe you don't read anymore?
It's like trying to find matching socks.
Yeah, no, it's...
Library books go into a dark hole somewhere and they don't ever come out.
I typically do believe they are underneath the seat of the car. And you get them, they're like, I found this book. A, it's like crunched up.
Yeah, it's got coffee
spilled
on it.
B, it's got coffee all over it.
Some melted M&Ms too from our daughter, for sure.
I would have preferred the exchange
slime.
With this one. No, slime.
Pages are stuck together with
worst
slime.
Worst stuff ever.
Yeah, where did this slurry that's buried under our seat in our car come from. That really ups the resale value.
Oh, that's what that smell was. It's whatever the library book is holding.
Exactly. It's like a diaper for underneath your
always,
car seat.
Yeah, we always find our library books like the week after school's out, and then we're tasked with holding on to them for another 90. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
You got to keep them in the garage. Just kind of near the garbage can.
Yeah, just throw them away.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, what I was getting at was that I am getting a chance to know these eighth graders, which is kind of extraordinary in itself, that instead of just, yes, it is about their essays. We also have, criteria based upon like their church attendance and their reported hours for confirmation. We are using that as well. Again, try explaining that to eighth graders, earlier in the year when I was like, I understand if you've met your 20 hours, but more is always good. And they're like looking around like, what? I thought it was 20. What?
So one of the companies that we sell insurance through, Catholic Financial Life, does a scholarship. And for first through eighth grade, you just get it. But for high school, there's requirement of service hours. And there's no minimum. So they just rank all the kids. Whoever has the highest goes to the top. And so the kids always say, like, well how many do I have to do? You have to be in the top 75%. I don't know. Well, how many is that? I couldn't tell you. Last year it was 50, but this year it might be 100. Like, who knows?
Yeah, basically, and they don't like it. Work.
Yeah, they just. Well, I just want to know what the bare minimum is to get my $500. Yeah, you gotta love high school kids.
Oh gosh.
Always looking for the angle. Just wait until they get to college, because I mean, I feel like that's what college was all about. Is like your first 2 years, you struggle through the stuff that you don't want to study and sleep through class, and then you get into your major course of studies, and then it's just like, how can I work this system just to get the degree?
Yeah, it's 75 degrees outside in the pub, two beer gardens open. Do I need a C or a B?
Yeah, like suddenly that Frisbee golf course looks real appealing. You know,
something I never got into.
I get the diploma either way, right?
Right, it doesn't make a difference.
Frisbee golf was great. I loved it. I played a lot of it in college. It was one of those things it was like an excuse to go walk a couple miles and throw frisbees around. And
see, there you go. That's the walking part that I think. If they had golf carts, had frisbee golf, yeah. I might be in.
I played soccer in college, so I was a little more aerobically fit than I am now.
I stopped soccer my senior year. That was the last year.
Yeah, you're like, that's too much running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like to play defense the least amount of running possible.
Stay back here.
Yeah, but you had to chase the fastest guys on the field typically.
Yeah, well.
I played
that slide tackle
defense.
Slows them down in a hurry.
A busted up ankle will keep people humble.
Yeah. So I know that that one of the biggest kind of issues that we always have with the golf outing that we put on is volunteers. How are you doing with volunteers? Do you guys need more help getting everything put on the day of? Or
so I think that.
Of course, it's 3 hours away.
Right.
So,
right.
So 90 days away.
That is going to be a little bit more difficult. I really haven't navigated that last year.
You got 7 weeks till you have to start thinking about it.
Well, this is what I think. And I'm going to have to have my sisters-in-law listen to the podcast up north. We have nieces and nephews in high school. Now, they're not at the Catholic school, high school up there, but I'm like, come on, can't we drudge up some of your friends? Yeah. Like, come on.
Well, my one nephew can't really run errands in our car because he has a tendency of wrapping it around a mailbox.
Well, sometimes they put him in the middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose. I mean, amazingly, no one was hurt, but the minivan he was driving
the mail went
has seen better days.
Last year, we did open it up to Central Catholic kids for their service hours. We were put in contact over there, and forgive me, I don't remember who that is, but and we had
probably Mike Vogel, not Mike Vogel, Scott Vogel.
That sounds
shout
right.
out
yep.
to Mike Vogel.
Scott. Yep, that's right. And so we were able to fill those spots, which we just had it more like the serving the food pretty much. And quite honestly, again, being a Catholic and having a Catholic family. I have an aunt who has six kids. Like,
just bring them out.
They're just like, hey, where can we put these kids? I'm like, oh, face painting. Oh, balloons. Keep them in line. Da 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 da. I mean, there's
so it's a very family friendly golf outing.
Yes, that is the other goal. So last year we did glow in the dark golf. So that started later.
Mm-hmm. Typically after dark.
too shy. So, yes, but we had dinner and everything, but we have balloon animals, face painting, that sort of stuff for the little ones. And people that weren't golfing, I mean, we only had 48 golfers only at a nine-hole course. So all their wives and or just our other family who doesn't golf, we were eating, dancing. We had DJ.
Oh, nice.
We had the silent auction with over 100 items.
Wow.
It was a blast. I mean, lots of dancing and the kids just running around. It was very fun. So, but this year we're not doing a glow in the dark golf just because that did run so late.
Yeah.
And that was me and some of our dearest volunteer friends. George is on swim team. And his coaches, it's actually a mom and three children. And they, right off in the beginning of the summer, were like, we want to help you in any capacity that we can. And they're all very, very bright, trustworthy people. So I'm like, you guys can be in charge of the money. not that I don't ever don't trust our high school volunteers and stuff, but you guys are all really good with that stuff. You can be in charge of money. So like at 11 o'clock at night, we're running, you know, Square credit cards for all these silent auction items. And it was just like, I want to get that done a little earlier, yeah. Not 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So we're just doing it like twilight golf. But yeah, I still haven't worked out the volunteers yet.
You got plenty of time. I wouldn't sweat it.
The problem with having it up. Not a problem, but another challenge.
Yeah, challenge.
Of having it in Wisconsin, where we're from, in the beautiful Lake Geneva area, is that is their prime time.
Yeah, they're not looking to give up course time.
Course time, you know, they know us from growing up there, but they didn't live what we did with us, like mm-hmm. a lot of our community members here did. So if we're looking for a deal, it's like here's a 10% off deal, not for free deal.
Right.
This is our only time to make money, which I understand.
Yeah.
Being a tourist area. But with that also, a lot of these kids, that's their time to work is on the weekends,
you know,
whether they're working on the piers or whatever. So also again, hoping that just magically these people will just step up.
I'm telling you, just call Bob's Blue Night, get a school bus, and then just drive a whole, you know, 40. You can get 45 people on there. And
I think
all the
got
volunteers
this
you need.
No, you know, last year I was really, really concerned. Matt saw it on my face. I about went into panic mode 2 weeks beforehand when I still didn't have the glow in the dark balls.
Which are surprisingly expensive.
They are. Yeah. Another way that we're not going to have that expense, but, I was like, I'm afraid it's going to look like a garage sale. Like I have all these random auction items and I don't know about the table. Like I just didn't have everything lined up yet. I mean, it was all available. I just had to get it written down and cleared out. And I just broke down to my one sister-in-law. I was like, it's going to look terrible. I don't have flowers. I don't have centerpieces. I don't know what to do.
Stuff we don't worry about the dad's club. Centerpieces.
We're like, is there a keg of beer there? Is there meat on a grill? And we have stuff to sell? Okay, this is going to be great.
Do we have centerpieces? Yeah, there's baskets full of peanut M&Ms. Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great centerpiece. Put it in the middle of the table.
There's a bucket of beer. That is the centerpiece.
Exactly.
So I was just very concerned about it looking...
I saw your pictures on Facebook. It looked great.
Yeah. I was blown away. I mean, my earthly children will never have a birthday party like that.
It was like a wedding reception.
No, I mean, it was. It was absolutely stunning.
It was pretty incredible. So. I mean, from not only the, you know, how it appeared, but just the quality and the value of some of the things that were donated was completely mind blowing. I mean, I told a couple people when I was at a work meeting this past weekend about some of the items that we got donated. And literally one of my buddies that I work with was like, my spine is tingling right now because I can't believe you got, you know, that.
Yeah.
I mean, so Amanda's father is a retired Walworth County Sheriff in Wisconsin. And he also did 15 years as the director of security at Alpine Valley Music Theater, which for those who don't know is a very, very large outdoor music amphitheater. And they bring in large global acts, not just national acts. And it was like a month before the event last year, and I got home from work, and I had gotten a text message from Amanda's dad, and he said, "You're not going to believe this," and then sent a picture. And I clicked on the picture, and it is a Dave Matthews acoustic guitar with his original hand artwork on it and signed.
Wow.
Was sent to his, and we auctioned it off, and you know, and then there was other musicians that sent stuff in as well. And then,
did I see a Fish poster?
There was a Fish poster. And
I like it.
Yeah. So you're a Fish fan.
Yeah.
All right. I am too. We got more to talk about. Yeah, how much time you got?
For Catholic Spirit Radio, probably.
Well, you know, I don't know. For the fanfare that they get, I'm definitely an outlier of the type of fans that they have. But my first concert.
Actually, yeah, you have a full-time job.
You don't just follow the band.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm not with her, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. So you're going to get the volunteers taken care of. Yeah. So what's on the agenda for next year? Have you started?
Oh, goodness.
You're going to be back down here?
One day at a time.
Talk to us in a year.
Yeah, and then you have 90 days.
Yeah, 90 days. That's when I usually typically get the ball rolling.
You know, one of the things that we Amanda and I discussed, it was a couple of Friday nights ago. We got the kids to bed, and we sometimes on Friday nights, just to like talk, we'll eat dinner a little bit later and, you know, just to catch up on the week and whatnot. And we were talking about this, and one of the ideas that we kind of came up with was maybe we could somehow create like this being part of like an educational project, like a service project for either St. Mary's students or Catholic Central students, and get them involved. Have them, like, we would kind of draw up like what we want to do, but we would delegate and let them execute some of the
idea.
We create a budget, like, you know, like an entrepreneurial type deal.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Get some essay volunteers out there, too.
Yeah. I like a good essay.
Yeah.
I mean, event planning is apparently a job. I would be terrible at it, and I'm sure it's, you know, there's a lot of juggling involved in it, but I'm like, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, I took on the idea of event planning this year and decided to throw a rock concert.
Oh.
All right. So that'll be Friday night, June 8th.
Okay.
Where is this at?
It's going to be out at the Interstate Center at the Grandstand. And
did you get Fish to come?
If you can hook that up for me, it would be Platinum Rock Legends from St. Louis will be there.
Oh.
Okay.
And they have like six lead singers, and every time they come out to cover a new group, like, you know, they're completely dry. It's more of a show than a cover.
Yeah.
And they have their own boy band. They do some Backstreet, which I'll be honest, every time I've seen them, like, I kind of like the boy band part.
Like, you're like tapping along.
I know. I try not to, but it just, you know, it gets in your blood, I think. You know, a little bye, 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 and some Backstreet's back, all right.
Oh, man.
So it's going to be awesome. But they do a lot of like 70s and 80s rock. And
that'll
so we're
going to
have three other bands open for them, five food trucks. And so speaking of like having 4 weeks to go.
Yeah. You've got this in the bag.
Yeah, sure. It'll be
a month from tomorrow.
Thanks. It'll be no big deal.
I think no matter how much you plan,
just have to get to the last 3 days.
Yeah, there's always
sweating, thinking about
unexpected circumstances. Yeah. I mean,
and you almost like you just want to get to the last couple of days so that whatever's gonna go wrong just happens and you can deal with it, and then you can get to the party part. And
yeah.
If it either works or it doesn't.
Getting back to the spiritual aspect of this.
Hey, we're raising money for the baby fold. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was the thing, is when I was panicking with my sister-in-law thinking it was going to look like a garage sale, I just had to remember that, you know what, we're trying to do something good, and if it does look like a garage sale, it's really going to hurt my heart. But we, no matter what, it's a success. We could raise $2,000. That's $2,000 more than we had. It's a lot of work for $2,000. But that or the other aspect, you know, it could be a blow out of the water and wow, you know. The thing is that people who are attending this, I mean, this isn't the type of event that they're like coming to, you know, they want to see their return on investment, and this is because they're coming to support.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah. So even when it's a friend of a friend, which we have a lot of, you know, they're there to just be supportive. And, yeah, I don't
Well, we look forward to hearing how great it was. Hopefully, we can maybe get a couple of the essay contestants to come on the radio.
That would be awesome.
And maybe give a snippet of their, because it's four or five page minimum essays. So, I mean, they could just read a couple paragraphs.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. These are Central Catholic students, potentially. I mean, they're going to have to do some serious writing in high school, and then there's going to be obviously expectations once they get to college. I'm thinking that sounds a little light.
Yeah. Start working on that doctoral paper now.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Get some sore fingers.
At the ripe age of 14.
Yeah. Well, we have Matt and Amanda are in talking to us about the Louise Bernadette Cole Foundation and their upcoming golf outing in the Lake Geneva area. They can find you on Facebook, right?
Yes. Maybe I need some of those like high school volunteers to help me beef up that Facebook site.
Yeah. They're going to want to put you on like InstaChat or FaceSnap or.
Yeah, some one of those things I don't know anything about.
You sound like me. I'm like the least social media savvy person. Like, there's people that are twice my age that are like, hey, do you have an Instagram page? I'm like, Insta what?
Yeah. I just got into Twitter like in the last couple months. It's mean.
I don't like that.
I just like read the news. I like it better because Facebook has really devolved into I'm selling these little kid shoes, or like you should try this, you know, grape guava therapy drink and you'll lose weight. Like that's all it is.
I say social media is two things. It's one, it's anti-social media because you go to like a public space with young people and they're like staring at their phones. They aren't talking to each other anymore. They're Insta-chatting, as you so eloquently put it. And then, as I like to really call it, it's a megaphone for stupidity.
Yeah. There's no test required to get a Facebook page.
Exactly.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have Amanda and Matt back with us to do, we'll put them on the hot seat for the gospel reading. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Tuesday, May 29th, it's Faith on Fire Night. From 7 to 8:30 p.m., Father Chase Hilgenbrink will share a message of faith that will surely touch your heart. This Bloomington native played professional soccer in South America, was ordained in 2014, and currently is a priest at the University of Illinois' Newman Center. What does it mean to live our lives and our faith to the fullest? Father Chase's message is perfect for all ages. This free community event includes a reception of drinks and dessert, May 29th, 7 p.m. at Holy Trinity Church, Bloomington.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We've got some great guests in with us today. Amanda and Matt are here. We're talking about the Louise Bernadette Cole Foundation. I think that it's, again, it's one of those things when we get questioned about why Catholic school.
Last year during Catholic Schools Week, we were at the family picnic in the gym, and I went up to Mrs. Hartrick, and I just said, I mean, this was 2 months after we lost Louise, and I just said, I'm coming for an interview. Think of something that I can do here. No, I'm just kidding. I just want to work for you, and I want to work here. So
yeah, it's good therapy.
It's just being, again, in that community, and that is why I wanted to start working there. I mean, first of all, as I just coming in there as a mom, I said all the staff, just other parents walking down the hall to, you know, bring George's lunch or whatever, you are smiled at, you are greeted, you just feel special. And I wanted to have that every day. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want that from their job?
It's hard to put into words until you really experience the difference and the amount of love and community, you know, that goes into the school. You know, I often think that, like, if we could just get every parent to bring their kid for 1 year, then they'd see the value.
The other aspect that Matt and I grew up, we were in public school, but we were in K through 8 schools in Wisconsin, really small schools. His graduating class was like 10?
9 or 11.
Okay. Yeah, I was going with the mean here.
I think the biggest it ever got was like 14.
Wow.
From
really
grade.
Small school.
And that wasn't a Catholic school. So that was one aspect to say, hey, honey, you know, we're talking about 3K, but I want George to stay for the longevity, you know. because, for example, prayer partners, right? So first grade's paired up with fifth grade. When George is leaving school and walking past the gym and they're having basketball practice, they're like, bye, George, like the seventh and eighth grade. And yeah. That just makes him feel like so cool.
Yeah.
And
maybe a little too cool. He was wearing sunglasses as he walked into school this morning.
Dad's got to bring him down a notch or two every once in a while.
He needs to be taken down a couple pegs.
They have an upcoming talent show. And, well, we're trying to still get all the forms turned in. But George said, Mom, I don't have a talent. And I said, George, you do. You're an amazing swimmer. Unfortunately, we can't bring a pool into the gym. Number two, you're really good at soccer. But, I mean, he's not like the middle school age where he could like dribble and do like all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm like, do you want to bring your dog and do tricks with your dog? And he goes, we have a border collie, Stanley. And he goes, Mom, it's illegal to bring my dog to school. And I was like, okay, well, I'll have to
75 bucks online. Now you can turn that dog into emotional support.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, I'll talk to Mrs. Hartrick about Stanley. I don't know. We do have a new resurfaced gym floor, so maybe you don't. We don't want the dog.
Yeah, we went through that a couple years ago.
We'll put some booties on him. He'll love it.
But I went up to a couple chosen 8th and 7th graders this week, and I was like, hey, will you think about doing an act with George? I don't know if that means, like, lip-syncing to an appropriate Guns N' Roses song. George really loves hair music, hair metal, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And or anything. But will you try to talk him up and do something with him? And they were like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you could, you know, get that at the public school experience to just be like, will you, just asking like a couple random, will you go hang out with a first grader and make them feel better about themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're special kids. I definitely, it just goes back to the community. They're, the kids all seem like a family. They look out for each other. They take care of each other. Not to say that they get along all the time. But, you know, I think that especially when you look at the level of issues that we have in public schools these days with bullying and all that kind of stuff, you know, again, and I'm not saying that the kids get along all the time, but I don't feel like they bully each other to the point where, you know, they're as distraught as they seem to get in the public schools.
Yeah, and I think this is going to sound horribly judgmental, and I do not mean that this way, but I think you see a reflection as a generality in the kids because the parents are so invested in the school. I mean, literally invested. And because they're invested, they want it to succeed. So they take the time to make it work, and they tell the kids at home that there's an expectation. And I think that reflects in the classroom. Granted, I'm not an instructor like Amanda is, but, you know, I'm involved with George and, you know, with some of his buddies at the school and going to events. I can see the quality of people that are in the community, and that's really refreshing.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate all the conversation today about Catholic schools and about your upcoming fundraiser. Hopefully next year it's back in Bloomington so that
we're
can all attend.
Yes.
The Louise Bernadette Cole Foundation second annual fundraiser this year in, what was it, when is it, July 9th?
July 14th?
Yes,
is that
14th.
Right?
Yeah, that's 14th. Right, honey.
Yeah. In Lake Geneva. And so we're going to put you on the hot seat. You guys agreed to stay and give us a reflection on the gospel, which I'm assuming you probably haven't read yet.
I admit I have not.
I've
been up since 5 a.m. So.
All right. Well, so you've got, I see your notes prepared there.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So this week's gospel is from the book of John, chapter 17, 11 through 19. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that they I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The gospel according to John. Who's going to tackle it first?
I'm going to defer to my wife.
There you go. Okay. That means your response has to be twice as good, though, since you're taking the...
I can collect my thoughts. Yeah.
I don't think that there could have been a more perfect gospel for us to be visiting.
It's funny how that works out, isn't it?
It really is. So I think for me, being here talking about our daughter, about Louise, and that we are only on this earth for a short lifetime to spend eternity, hopefully, in heaven together. And all we can do is be good disciples and show people the truth and try daily to do that from our heart with the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's always easy for all of us, and that's why we have confession. But I think that, yes, we don't belong to the world. You know, we belong to Jesus in heaven, and that is our goal. So while we're here, we need to make the most of it and just spread his word by showing, by demonstrating. And I kind of go back to Father Rick with that. Father Rick wanted us to show people by how good we were. Oh, that's a St. Mary's parishioner or a good Catholic. That is what I want, you know. I don't know. And just, yeah, avoid the evil that is going on plaguing this world all the time. So I don't know. That's kind of my reflection.
Yeah, I like to keep things, you know, light, but, you know, at the same time, very reflective. And I'm going to quote a little pop culture here. As George Carlin's character said in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, be excellent to each other. I think that that's exactly what it says. You know, it says you got to go, and despite the challenges that it may be, you just have to be a good person, even though sometimes we're constantly pressured or tempted to do the wrong thing. You got to do the right thing, and you got to do the right thing for other people and for yourself and for your family and for your community. And, I think that's really what that message is all about, you know, cause we are here for a very short time. But we get greatness and excellence forever.
I think of a quote, and I hope I'm getting it right, from Our Lady of Lourdes to Saint Bernadette that said, "I cannot make you happy in this life, but in the next." And just trying to demonstrate on earth how we want to get to heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. So the as a former Protestant, the line that always sticks out to me is that that they may be one. And obviously, you know, we have a great divide these days between a lot of Christian brothers and sisters and our beliefs, and so, you know, that always sticks out to me. The other thing that sticks out to me is a quote that I read on Twitter in the last few days that said, you know, basically you can rest in peace as a Christian when you're being attacked by the devil because you know you're on the right path. And so, kind of to your guys's point, that if you're living the disciple's life, the devil's going to come after you, and if you're not living a Christian life, then there's not really any reason for him to. And so a lot of times I think we focus on the storm that we're in the midst of and not necessarily the way out, which is always Jesus. And so I think that a lot of times it becomes easier for us when things are going well to kind of let our faith wane a little bit. And so I agree with both of you. I think that the verse does a really good job in saying that if we're on the right path, then we're not of this world, and things are going to be difficult. And so we can rest assured knowing that when things are difficult, it's probably because we're doing the right thing and the evil one's kind of out to get us. So again, I appreciate you guys coming out this week. We had a great conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, not only about Catholic education, but also about your guys' fundraiser and foundation for your daughter, Louise. So again, thank you so much. We look forward to hopefully having you guys back, as well as maybe some of the essay.
Think about that bus.
Yeah, we'll get Bob's Blue Knight to drive everybody to Wisconsin. Bob's Blue Knight, by the way, is going to do some driving for the rock concert coming up in June. So I have to plug that too. So again, we appreciate you guys coming out. You're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. You can listen to all our podcasts on CatholicSpiritRadio.com. As always, this show doesn't get put together completely by free. So if you like what you hear, please make a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. And again, listen to our old podcast on CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Everybody have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Beltke is your host for real-life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Beltke, and today's topic is the ideal Christian steward. What would it cost you in terms of personal sacrifice? Have you ever given thought as to what it would take in terms of personal sacrifice to bring yourself closer to God? Becoming a good steward partially entails stepping out of ourselves in order to be properly aligned with God's gifts for us. But stepping away from our selfishness can be difficult. What would you have to sacrifice to be an exemplary Christian steward? What would you have to take a closer look at? Your desire to make money? Seek power? Examine a friendship? Is what you are listening and watching contrary of Christian stewardship? Use the gifts God has given you for the good of the church, and to do so tirelessly. We need only to be reminded of the apostles and the sacrifices they gladly made to carry out the mission of our church, to bring Christ to people and people to Christ. Take a close look at what you can accomplish when you seek to serve God through the gifts He has given you, and when you unconditionally make sacrifices to share your gifts with others, you will begin to be open to God's good graces of love, peace, sharing, and caring for you. I'm Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
One truth, one voice, one church, one body, one soul, one cross, one Savior, on one station, the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.